And we made it.
Bad Therapy.
Episode 13.
Let's go.
Cheers. So it's been a stressful week. There's been a lot going on. Okay, when I'm talking to my work life, my personal life, my love life, the podcast, you know, it's nothing bad's been happening with the podcast, but it's a lot of work.
You have to show up. Yeah.
I'm just emotionally drained. And I just got back from a work trip, which is why I'm dressed like a hobo. Well, that's not why I'm dressed like a hobo, but
you're just drained.
I'm just fucking
tired.
You're
me last week. Like last week I had enough.
We do be switching places.
Kind of has to be like that. If we're both down bad, it's
Oh, then we're screwed. But the reason I bring this up is A, to explain my leisurely casual fit of the night.
The casual.
And two, because one of the speakers at the events that we were hosting for my job was someone that has a really successful podcast. And I was listening to some of the things he was saying in and out of doing my job. And he mentioned that only 0.02% of people make it past their third podcast.
Their third?
Their third podcast.
What?
Yeah.
How many fucking podcasts are out there where they just did three episodes?
I mean, it's not very rare to hear someone starting a podcast and or anything for that matter and just giving up because they realize how much work it is.
I feel like three is like didn't even give it a chance though. Like were they expecting to get famous off of three podcasts?
Well, for sure. But like I think that people don't realize how much work goes into this type of stuff. They for see sure. it. They see the
oh, that looks and, great. Yeah.
Yeah, the glitz and glamour and the glitz and glamour.
Hobo and hobo. Like
they see it doing well for other people and they think that they could do that. And maybe they just realize they don't have enough to talk about. They don't have time. Whatever the excuses. People make excuses. But I'm proud of us because 13.
Episode 13. We're 10 episodes. No, 11 episodes past the standard.
No, 10.
You said two.
I said three.
Oh, 0.02.
Yeah, okay. 0.02, three.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people, especially this new influencer phase of people, they think it's going to be easy. But going viral on Instagram and TikTok has gotten so much harder. Mm-hmm. Like if you would have started this 10 years ago,
because of the saturation.
The market is complete. Everyone and their mom is an influencer these days. Everyone and their mom has a podcast.
And it's not easy. Just because we've had some success with it does not mean that it's easy. Like there's a lot of thought that goes into how to create something that is going to get viral reach. It's not just, oh, that was a good clip. Let's just post it.
And a really good example of that, and I'll throw myself right under the bus. So this is what Allie does for a living, right? Like she's a social media manager. She's a marketer. Like this is her job. I'm not really online. I don't watch TikTok. I don't scroll through reels. Like it's just not something I've ever had interest in. And every time I'm like, this is going to go viral. Like this is the one, it flops. And every time Allie like really carefully structures something out and posts it and does the hook and edits it in a way that she knows is going to go viral, it does. Mm-hmm. And that just goes to show it's not everyone and their mom can't do this.
But I will say that sometimes when I like, there's a lot of thinking that goes into it before it just, oh, I know this is going to go viral. It's like, what's the hook going to be? What's the structure of the actual talk going to be? Cause like we'll decide, oh, this clip is looking really good. It's like 3 minutes long. How do I condense that down into 1 minute with all of the key components? Cause I could leave all of that in and it would be just as good, but what parts matter the most? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's kind of like, I wish more people would watch the actual podcast,
right?
Because sometimes our stuff goes viral and people are like, you're the dumbest bitches. But in out of context, in context, in the podcast, it makes sense. Well, it flows. We explain everything.
Yeah, like we clip it like that on purpose to get more people to see it and watch it. But anyways, speaking of things that I've seen going viral recently, I saw this thing. And if you can't tell, we like to talk about all these different theories and things that we see. But it makes sense to me. And there's a reason that these things exist. I saw something called the taxicab theory. And I've heard this before. The taxicab theory, speaking in terms of relationships with men specifically, is, okay, imagine a taxicab. You're in New York. You're trying to wave a taxicab down, but their lights are off. They're not taking customers. They're not going to pick you up because their lights are off. You could wave at them as much as you want. The second that they turn their light on, though, and they're ready to take a customer, the first person that waves them down, they're going to pick up.
They're going to start getting their money.
They're going to drive off. So if you relate that to relationships with men specifically, I know a lot of women out there have probably heard that the man will marry the woman he's with when he's ready. It doesn't matter if she's the right girl for him or not. He could be with the perfect woman, but if he's not ready,
it's not going to work.
It's not going to work. It's going to be the girl that finds him when he's ready.
And it's funny. I actually just saw something recently where it's like the man will marry the woman that's in front of him when he decides he wants to get married.
Exactly.
And that's so fucked up because there's so many women who are like, you know, we had such a good relationship. I gave him everything. I did everything I could as, you know, as a wife without a ring on my finger. And he turns around and marries Joanne 3 weeks later.
Yeah. And that's because us as women, we get ready. When we meet the right person, we become ready.
We change.
We're not like, we could go into a relationship and not be ready. But when we meet the right person, we fix whatever it is that in our life or within ourselves that needs to happen to cater to that relationship. So that we are ready and so that we can be the best partner. So we don't lose it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whereas men don't think that way. And that's why, you know, not to blame divorce on men because women are just as at fault. But I would say, like, in theory, if this is true, which it seems to be true, then
they're not married the right person.
That's why a lot of relationships probably fail, because a man just picks a woman that's not right for him just because he's ready in the moment. And later down the line, they infidelity occurs, or they get sick of their partner, or, and they don't know why.
They don't have a lot in common. They don't have the best time together. They're not best of friends. They don't have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Or
15
whatever,
years later,
whatever the case may be, it ends because that's not the person that they were best suited for. That's just the person that they were with when they decided they were ready.
I wonder what it is that clicks in their head to make them ready. Like, obviously, being with a woman who's of marital standard must have something to do with it, mm-hmm. but what is it that makes them, okay, I want to get married?
I've actually wondered this a lot, and I know, honestly, guys, I cringe because I bring up my past relationships so much.
She's like, please make me stop talking about my ex-boyfriends.
I'm such a person that really holds a lot of weight to my romantic relationships in my life, probably more so than other people. So a lot of the experiences that I have that have been very monumental to my growth and my journey in this world have been from romantic relationships. So that's why they come up a lot, especially in during these topics and stuff. But I dated someone and it didn't work out. And he basically told me walking out the door that he was not ready and he needed 4 years. Come find me in 4 years and I want you, you know? And then a year later, he's fucking engaged. A year after that, he's married to the first girl he met right after me. So you can perceive it from two ways, like which way is the right way? Was it that he really did just meet the right person right after me? Or was there something that clicked right after me that made him ready? You know, obviously I would think that it was the right person, right? Because it wouldn't make sense for it to happen that quickly if it wasn't me. Like, why couldn't it have happened with me?
Right.
But then there's also the side of it where I know that person so well and he wasn't ready
at all
when he was with me.
And maybe it was something about your guys' relationship that kind of catapulted him into being ready. Because I know you've always said, like, why is it that the guys that we break up and then the next girl that they're with is like their forever girl? One.
And that happens to a lot of women. I've seen they'll be with someone for years and years. They're not ready. And then all of a sudden the next person they meet, they're ready to marry. And that's where I first heard of this taxi cab theory. Cause it's like, oh, well now they're ready. But what changed within that short
period
of time?
Within 6 months to a year. Yeah.
And like, I'm not saying that it couldn't have been that they met the right person. Right. Because that could change things too. I just can't really imagine when you date someone and you know how they are, that they are that much different to where
6 months later,
they would be ready. Even if they did meet the right person, you know what I mean? So I feel like something within them would have had to change. I don't know.
Well, and you see that with guys, like you see them with the most perfect or seemingly the most perfect girl for them. But they're so like non-committal, and then they break up. Then that girl break up because the girl gets sick of it after however long she has to deal with the bullshit for. Mm-hmm. 6 months later, he's with a girl who she's kind of mid.
Yeah, and you're just like,
and then they get married. It's like, what the fuck happened? Like,
well, in that type of scenario too, where you see a guy with a really high value woman, and then you see him with someone which I don't know. You know, you make assumptions. You know, judge a book by its cover. That's not what I'm saying, but it. As humans, we naturally do that.
Yeah.
You see someone that seems to be less value. I don't know. I don't want to pit women against each other. But I think that sometimes in those situations, men don't like to feel intimidated by the woman that they're with. Someone that is getting attention from other people. Someone that they have to worry about. Someone if they have trust
insecure.
Issues. Yeah. They're not comfortable with their girl being in public without them or wearing makeup or wearing provocative clothes or whatever.
Right, like looking too good.
Or making more money than them or whatever it may be.
Your ex used to give you so much shit for like doing your makeup. What a fucking weirdo.
He literally told me that I looked mean with makeup on so that I wouldn't wear it anymore. Because he didn't say like don't wear it anymore, but
he liked to make little jabs to make you not want to marry.
So by the end of the relationship, I completely stopped taking care of myself.
You didn't wear makeup at all.
Never got dressed up, never did anything for myself. And that's just not
big
who I am.
Big sweatshirts and ratty hair. Like, yeah. And that's how he liked you.
And then he met a girl right after me that fit that mold, who wasn't
big
someone...
sweatshirts and ratty. That's so fucking rude.
That's not what I'm saying.
But no, like, she was much more low maintenance.
Met the mold of, like, she wasn't out there seizing the attention of the room, mm-hmm. and being loud. I'm sure she, you know what I mean?
Like, she didn't wear a lot of makeup. She didn't naturally just didn't do that. Yeah.
I don't know her. I'm not making any assumptions and I'm not trying to talk shit, but I did see that parallel in my last relationship. But men like that want to be with someone that makes them feel better about themselves. And sometimes if you're with an insecure man or a man that's not sure of himself, he's gonna discredit you and make you feel like you're the problem because he feels that way about himself. So he's
going
to
feel superior.
Yeah. So he's gonna end up being with someone that makes him feel better about himself. And you would think that would mean being with a high value woman or a beautiful woman or a successful woman or whatever woman. But really what it means is that he wants to be with someone that doesn't make him feel insecure.
Yeah, absolutely. And however that puzzle fits for him. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a really good point what you said about women and how they make themselves ready. Because there's a lot of women that we're not just, it's not like the 1800s anymore. We're not just dying to get married and settle down and start having babies left and right. Like, mm-hmm. women are single for a lot longer. We're getting married a lot later. We're having children a lot later. Like, our standards are a lot higher.
A lot more of us aren't even married.
Not even interested. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's amazing. But I also think for me, I personally never thought that I was going to change who I was for somebody or that I was going to like be ready to get married. I kind of thought I was going to be the wild child forever. But when I found the person that I actually wanted to marry, I did. Mm-hmm. I made myself fit that because I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think that that was something that I would do ever. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good point that men do it when they're ready and women do it because they want to.
Because they want to. Yeah, 100%. So that brings me to our next topic because we were discussing, and we both have people in our lives that have done this or people that we know that we just can't for the life of us wrap our head around, is people that just jump from relationship to relationship. Like, I'm talking relationship ends 2 days later or even sometimes
chronic
overlap,
relationship hoppers. Yeah.
Or when there's overlap. Yeah.
You're like, how are you in a long-term serious relationship when you didn't even have a week. There must have been overlap there.
For sure. Or in the cases where I do know someone who was a good friend of mine, there was no overlap, but she met someone within 2 days of breaking up.
How is that
up.
Even possible? Like, aren't you hurting? Aren't you in a place where you're not?
Also, what do you mean you like? Where are people finding guys that they like that much? It takes me 2 years to find a guy that I like enough to even consider dating. And then they end up being the worst.
Well,
so,
and it kind of makes me wonder,
where are we finding these men?
Are people just settling because they don't want to be alone?
And that's the thing, is probably
because a lot of these relationships, they're not ending up well, they're ending up with a new relationship.
And some people are very surface level as it is.
Yeah.
I'm someone that looks for something very deep. And obviously, over time of knowing someone for a long extended period of time, you can always find that deeper level just by knowing them for a long time, even if the person you're speaking to isn't a deep person. But there's no way you're convincing me that 2 weeks was enough to get deep with someone.
Or to get over your 4-year long relationship.
Yes. Unless it was never really that deep is what I'm trying to say. Like, maybe that was a surface level relationship. And so the next one's a surface level. But to me, that's not a relationship.
How could you do that? I mean, if I do that for 3 months, I'm like, if this isn't deeper, I'm out. I lose interest.
I get the fear of not wanting to be alone, wanting companionship, but in the sense of being with someone for that extended period of time and being loyal. I mean, I'll be completely honest. If I'm not feeling, first of all, I wouldn't date someone that I wasn't feeling that deep connection to.
Right.
But secondly, where would my loyalties be lying if I didn't feel this deep connection with them? Because if I'm not into you, if I'm not feeling you in my soul, who's to say that I'm not going to meet someone out at a bar that's surface level that I connect to on the same level?
Well, isn't that kind of what happens?
I guess so. I'm just drawing the, I'm just
connecting
it all
right
now.
When you look at these, you look at the pattern and it's like, okay, so your relationship, you didn't really seem that happy. You were never really that into it, but it was years and years and years. And then
they cheat.
There's an overlap. And I, you know, call it cheating, call it, I met this guy and I just feel something with him and now I'm over this one or whatever. There's a saying that says, you know, you could fall in love with anyone if you gave him enough time. Mm-hmm. So it's like just feeling that initial spark with someone and just riding with it because you're too afraid or too insecure to be alone.
And you know, I was about to make a comment a second ago saying, damn, that sounds nice, just to be in and out like it didn't even matter. But then I realized, but then it didn't matter.
Then why would you do these long relationships? But just date then. Date around, have fun.
But like, also then you'd be missing out on the whole point of love, which is to have that deep, meaningful connection with someone, which maybe they've never felt. Maybe they don't know it exists. I guess I got fucked because my first ever relationship that I was really in was the deepest. You know, I really was shown what it's supposed to look like. Real love, or what it's supposed to feel like. And yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of the relationships that I see my friends or acquaintances in that are seemingly surface level are very, they're giving high school relationships.
Yeah, it's very immature.
But now with adult money, so they can move in together and right. buy a dog together.
Can you imagine like moving in with someone who you're not locked in with like that? I would be so annoyed with that person all over my space.
Yeah.
And that's how you know when you're starting to get annoyed with a person over everything they do, the way they breathe, the way they eat, like the way they move.
It makes me wonder if in those situations, because the only way that that would work for so long is if one person was more infatuated with the other person. And
I could see it.
The one person that wasn't as that one person that was the hopper from relationship to relationship mm-hmm. is the one that's not taking it as seriously. And then the other person's super in love with that person. So they're doing everything they want. They're at their beck and call type of vibe, you know?
You're totally spot on with that too, because what I've seen of this relationship hopping, the person who gets left, who gets hopped on, is always
the one trying.
So hurt and wants it back and is trying and trying. But the hopper is already in a whole ass new relationship. Yeah. They forgot it even happened.
What a lonely existence.
Can you imagine? Like you never, and you don't know yourself at all because you've never spent a day alone.
That's the other side of it, which is honestly probably the bigger issue here, is how the fuck are you going to be involved with someone every day of your life and not take, like, I get it. Being alone is scary. Going through a breakup is the worst. Feeling that pain, being alone, it fucking sucks. But that is the most I've ever grown in my life.
It's how you figure out who you are
through breakups.
How you handle shit. Yeah.
Especially after a long relationship. You have to have that time to reintroduce yourself to yourself, because the only you you've known since being in that relationship is you with that person.
Yeah. You have to learn to have hobbies, friends, do things again
by
yourself.
When you're by yourself.
Exactly.
And they never figure that out. Maybe that's a deeper thing. Like I didn't want that, you know. For me, it's not so much of being alone. Like, I physically cannot jump into another relationship.
You couldn't fake it if you tried.
But I will hold on for dear life to a bad relationship because I don't want to be alone, or because I don't want to have to deal with it, or because I don't want to have, you know, I'm like, I will do that. I've gotten better, hopefully, at not following those toxic patterns.
Not holding on to something that you should probably let go of.
But as much as I've wanted to at times just, okay, bounce into the next thing, I could literally
never.
You're
not ready
yet. And that's not to say I couldn't find someone. I just couldn't do it.
And honestly, I'm no angel. Like, I never bounced around from relationship to relationship, but I was never really good at being alone either. Mm-hmm. Like, I always found ways to keep myself entertained, or I dated and, you know, very casually, but it was seldom that I was okay with being alone mm-hmm. until my last, not the relationship I'm in now, but after that one, that was like kind of getting to mid 20s where you're like, okay, it's okay to be single, and you don't have to be talking to someone. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be on Hinge. You don't have to be dating. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be talking to guys at the bars. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And I felt so, that was the most peaceful time of my life.
It is, once you get over the hump of it feeling uncomfortable and scary, it honestly is the most empowering feeling.
Not having to worry about anybody else. Mm-hmm. And that was the time in my life, the first time in my life where I ever actually did not want a relationship.
Yeah, because you think to yourself, if someone's going to show up and
take my peace from me, yep.
I don't fucking want it.
And you know, they say it's not going to happen until you don't want it. Mm-hmm. Then I found the person I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Yeah.
Like, when I stopped wanting it.
Which is so annoying, because like, I'm just the type of person that I'll always deep down want it, you know?
I mean, everyone does, right? Like, that's human.
I would say like, I haven't looked for it for the past year. I've had boys in and out that I spend, you know, like some time talking to.
Boys
and
in
get
and out?
To know. Not like that. Not in and out of me, in and out of my life, my spheres. I actually haven't had anyone in and out of me.
Like,
for,
ever.
Like, over a year.
Ew.
Just being honest. So it's been a long, lonely, dry year. But that's okay. And I've been happy. But recently I did have someone that kind of did penetrate that wall. Not that
not
wall.
Even. No.
Not that wall, and not that type of penetrate. No, but they did break down a few walls, and like, they were the first person that I did consider, oh, maybe I do want to.
Maybe
date.
This could happen.
Maybe I could. And it didn't work out. Actually, this week was the week that I just finally decided that I'm not getting what I signed up for. Not like I fucking signed up for anything, right? But I had a little bit of a glimmer of hope that maybe this could have been something. And that's the thing about someone like me who doesn't feel things easily or very seldomly does. When I do,
you're locked on.
I'm locked in. Like, yeah. I'm in it, whether it is fully decided or whether it fully makes sense. And that's what sucks about me, which I'm trying to figure out what the deciding factor is. Cause like, I'll, you know what I mean?
What is it? Where does it change?
Yeah. Like, yeah. What makes this person the one versus the last one?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I'm proud of myself because it's not that he did anything wrong or that anything really happened, but he just basically, we talked for about 5 months every day. We live in different places. He couldn't tell me what he wanted. And he was like, we just don't know each other well enough. We live far away. And these are all valid points. I agree with him. You know, I'm not asking you to be my boyfriend, but I am asking for some sort of commitment. But how can I ask someone to commit to me when we haven't even had our first fucking kiss yet? Like,
but it's also like he needs to make the effort to do those things. Right. I think that was part of the issue.
But he's super busy because he travels for work. I'm busy. It just, the whole thing was just, it was weighing on me. And yes, I enjoyed having him around, but I think I was getting to a point where I was developing feelings, and maybe it was just an attachment because we talked every day, but nonetheless, it was affecting me in my day-to-day life. The unknown was freaking me out.
Like, and what are we?
Yeah.
What's happening and with he us? Was like, where are we going?
Why can't you be patient? Like, what's the rush? And I was like, there's not a rush, you know, there's no rush, but I'm starting to freak out when I don't hear from you.
I mean, 5 months is not a short time to be talking to someone for hours and hours a day. It's not like they talked.
It's not hours and hours a day, but like we definitely, there were days that were hours and hours. FaceTiming and then there were days that weren't at all because he's busy.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is I just decided for myself that I needed to walk away because he couldn't give me what I was looking for. And it was unfair of me to try to force that out of him if that's not what he wanted. And I had to maybe come to the hard realization that maybe I wanted it more than he did. And I was more in it than he was for whatever reason. Maybe I liked him more than he liked me. Or maybe he just had, you know, more of a focus on his work than I did. Like, I'm always going to put my relationships equal with every other thing in my life.
Or above.
Or above.
Yeah.
I mean, not in the beginning, but it was equal for me. Like, everything was on equal playing field.
He was a priority to you.
He was a priority to me.
And you didn't feel prioritized.
I did not. And I think my gut instinct is always right. And normally I will overlook those things and say, oh, well, he's telling me, no, it's not like that, this and that. But, and it's not like he was out fucking around. It was a very different type of relationship.
Not something you've really dealt with before. Yeah.
Because nothing bad happened. Nothing really that good happened either, besides just the fact that we had become really close in my mind over the last few months. And I think I had started to romanticize what life would be like. And I think maybe I got that confused with what reality was.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just basically said, I think we just need to take a step back and I wish the best for you. And so that just happened. And
well, I think it's really self-aware for you to like practice what you preach. Cause we're always on here. Like,
yeah,
if your situationship doesn't feel right, like leave his ass. And it's obviously not that simple, especially for you who you'll hold on for dear life because you don't like leaving people and you don't like being left. But you know, they say a situationship is a relationship to one person and nothing to the other person.
Damn.
And so like, if it's not a relationship, if it's a situationship, that's for a reason.
Yeah.
Cause if it was mutual, it would be a relationship.
Damn.
Sorry.
I mean, valid points. Like, this is what I'm saying. I get swindled and I see, like, I'm always the one that sees it as a relationship because if it wasn't that, I wouldn't be entertaining.
You wouldn't even be involved in it. That's the thing about you.
Yeah.
You're not going to entertain somebody if you're not interested in them.
And that's why it's difficult for me to understand. You know, someone once told me a long time ago, and it's been something that I've always had to remind myself because, and you can think of it in different ways, but it's like people don't feel the way you feel. People don't love the way you love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just speaking to me, like on a high horse, like, and vice versa.
No, everybody.
We're just all different. The way we are, the way we feel, the way we perceive.
Trauma, pain, everything.
Everything is just different. So if the way that I feel and the way that I am is not going to be the same as someone else. And that's just a hard truth that I think is a big pill to swallow.
It's like, oh my gosh,
bitter pill to swallow.
They don't feel the same way I do when we're in the situation together.
Like, how could they not feel? Because we're just different people, and that's really normal. And as I get older, I know that to be true. It doesn't make me feel better, but it does make, it makes sense. You know, it makes me feel less anger towards the person because, you know, it's not like they did anything wrong. This is just, we're just different.
You're different. And it makes you want to find someone who, you're going to be different from every person on this earth, but someone who you're compatible with in that way.
We're going to be
the
same.
You love the same way. You give love the same way. You receive love the same way. It's super important because love languages, this was like all the rave a couple years ago. I think it's super relevant. The way you receive love, the way you give love, the way your partner receives love. Yeah. You have to be compatible. Otherwise, you're always going to be not connected.
Butting heads.
Yeah.
And I think like, I have people, friends that have been in long relationships and it seems to be a recurring theme in their relationship of the problem that they're having is the love language thing.
Yeah, no, it's real.
It's not just like bullshit, mm-mm. You know? There's a true, genuine way that people individually show and receive love. And if it doesn't match up, then the person that's giving you love is always going to feel like they're not doing enough.
Inadequate.
But they're giving you all that they can. They're exactly. doing all the things that they
in
know.
In the way that they know how.
Yeah. And then you're telling them, oh, I don't feel loved. Because they're not giving it to you the way, and you could tell them 100 times, I'm physical touch, I'm words of affirmation, but they're going to bring you coffee in the morning. But you right. want to hear, I love you, you're beautiful. You know what I mean?
And it doesn't add up. And the person on the giving side, like you said, is always going to feel inadequate. And the person on the receiving side is always going to feel like they're not getting enough.
Yeah.
Because I've had that in situations where I feel like a lot of men are really strong words of affirmation and physical touch.
Yeah.
I'm physical touch and acts of service. Mm-hmm. So a guy will say a lot of shit to me, I could literally care less. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, I mean, it's nice to be called beautiful. It's nice to be told nice things. But to me, where it really hits is with acts of service.
Yeah.
Where I can visibly see that someone is making a tangible effort for me. And if you're with someone who is not naturally an acts of service person, they're going to feel like they're always having to go the extra mile just to make you feel like loved.
You know, I'm fucked because I'm all five.
You're literally all of them. I'm like, damn, pick two.
But here's the thing. The reason that I feel that way is because I can think of like different relationships where I've felt like I wasn't appreciated. But then that could be the relationship too.
Yeah.
But in my most recent one that I could think of, words of affirmation weren't one of his strong suits. But we were long distance, so I feel like it needed to be.
Right, because that's all he can give.
But he wasn't, so I think that was lacking. Mm-hmm. Honestly, they were all lacking. We were fucking 400 miles apart.
Never kissed.
But bottom line, yeah, like physical touch, lacking.
Absolutely.
Acts of service, lacking. But yeah, like in the past, I don't know what I am, to be honest. I used to think I was words of affirmation and quality time. I know I'm quality time. 100% quality time. That's my top, top, top.
But here's the thing. Everybody is all five. Everybody needs a little bit of all five. It can't just be you pick two like, and the rest are completely ignored. Yeah. You know, of course I love it when my boyfriend calls me beautiful. I love quality time. I love physical touch. I need all of them. Mm-hmm. But there should be a couple that are kind of a religious.
Well, mine is constant. Definitely quality time. And then I'm very like they say you give how you want to receive.
Yes.
So I'm very acts of service. Me too. I don't know if I've ever dated anyone that was very acts of service. I did have one person, but I think I was too young to really recognize it.
Dating an acts of service man is tops.
Yeah.
Tops.
Yeah. But that's because that's also your
you get your, right. And I'm not words of affirmation at all. So it's hard for me if I date someone who needs words of affirmation because I'm so don't need it.
Yeah.
Then I don't give it.
Yeah.
And they're like, do you hate me?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
me.
literally me. Allie, like, text me back. I'm like, fuck.
Well, I think with my last, and I keep bringing this up because it's very fresh and it's on the topic.
Her ex-boyfriend.
No, we never dated. We were never in a relationship. I think I'm just processing this, like as we're speaking, I'm quality time, right? That's my top one. Since we couldn't spend any quality time, I think him not communicating or like if he was busy, him not calling me and us not getting time to talk.
Your quality time was FaceTime. Really,
yeah, that was my quality time, was speaking to him in any form. And I get it. It's texting. It's a call. Like you're busy. I get it. But to me, that's how you show me that you care.
That's what long distance is. I mean, if you're choosing to talk to somebody, even if it's not a relationship.
But sometimes like I hear people that are in relationships that don't need to talk to their person every day. Like they're completely good with 2 days. No speaking.
I had a friend who was in med school and was across the country and her boyfriend was across the country. I was like, how often do you guys talk? She's like, I don't know, twice a week.
Yeah.
I'm like, twice a week?
Yeah, no, and that was the guy that I was talking to. That's how he
is. I could never.
He was completely okay. He was like, it doesn't mean I care less. It doesn't mean I'm not thinking about you. But then we have more to catch up with, more to talk about when I do talk to you. Like when we're talking every day, we have nothing to like. But in my mind, I was like,
I just want to be near you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like a relationship when you're not talking to someone like that. Like,
but to some people, that is their happiness. Like if they feel smothered when they have too much.
I've heard of couples that even when they live in the same city, they see each other once or twice a week.
Yep.
I'm like, my boyfriend and I started dating. I lived in his skin and then we moved in together.
Yeah.
Like it was when I was locked, when I'm locked in with someone though, like if it's someone that I'm not super into, fine.
And that's what I think my brain like. The person that I would just talk to, like my brain goes to the worst case scenario. Like he just doesn't,
he's not that into me,
but really for him, it's just, I don't, he doesn't need that.
He gives and receives differently than you.
That he's thinking, oh my God, what do you mean? I don't care. Like I was working or I was doing this or I needed
something. He's like, I call you anytime I get a chance to and it works.
Or like God forbid 2 days pass and I'm doing something. I'm like at a wedding or I'm on vacation with my family and I don't call you. And I'm not like I would freak out, but I would definitely have moments of like, do you hate me?
Well, your feelings are hurt because you're like, why am I not a priority? Yeah. But this is where it comes down to
having to match up with
he's someone. Not a bad person. Yeah. You're not a crazy person. It's just not the right person. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. We have to go through the wrong person over and over and over and over to find what we actually need.
What we want and what we need.
Because I've definitely dated guys that were not bad people. I was in a very long relationship with a long distance relationship with a great guy. And no shame to him. He never did anything to hurt me ever, but our love languages were not the same. Mm-hmm. And long term, he probably would have married me. I could see that it wouldn't have worked. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to spend the rest of my life looking for something that he couldn't give me.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to spend the rest of his life
trying to
an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Always feeling like shit about himself because I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
So it's just being self-aware enough to realize that and walk away when it's not working.
And I did that. Are you proud of me?
I'm very proud. I'm super curious to see how long it's going to last. But
I know. She's such a hater.
I just know my biffle. Mm-hmm. And I know that if he turns around and realizes, well, damn, that girl is amazing because you are. I miss her. I don't like being without her. And he reaches out to you. I know it's really hard for you to reject people, especially when you...
I literally cannot do it.
No.
Because I think to myself, how would that make me feel? And I know I would be in shambles.
You're such an empath. Yeah.
But then on the other end, they do it to me and they don't care, you know? And so I'm struggling with putting boundaries. Yep. I think that's a good word.
Boundaries.
Boundaries. I have a hard time placing boundaries within myself and what I need because I'm afraid to hurt or cause a rift or something. Like I'm afraid that they'll
be
upset.
So you just let them do whatever they want.
Yeah. Yep.
But instead, you could let them come back and say, hey, thank you. I appreciate you. I hear you saying this, but I'm going to set the boundary that I still need X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And if you can't give me that,
then this needs to be
toodaloo,
done.
Motherfucker.
You know what's so fucking funny is this is called bad therapy, but why do I feel like I actually get therapy?
Why is it good therapy? You know, we get comments all the time. It's comments. Like,
we either get, it's called bad therapy for a
delete
reason.
Delete your fucking podcast. Who let women have microphones? Or
this is actually good.
You saved my life. I listen to your podcast every week. Thank you so much for existing. You know what? One of those is worth 100 sad little men calling me a dumb bitch.
100%.
On to our next topic. We're here to talk about home wrecking sluts.
Home wrecking whores.
Allie's like, I'll let you take the lead on this one. That's what I opened with.
That's what you start with.
No, for real though. We're talking about adultery and...
home wrecking whores.
Home wrecking. The longest pause, my eyes crossed.
I was like, I got this.
We're here to talk about adultery and cheating and lying and all that bullshit
sleeping
that comes
with
it.
Men and then feeling sad about it.
More focused on the female side of this because that's our perspective, is being the home wrecker. Knowing that somebody is in a relationship and choosing to sleep with them or be with them anyway. It's just a line that you really, really should not cross.
Like in hopes that they're going to choose you. First of all, why would you want someone like that to choose you in the first place?
So they can cheat on you?
Right. Sounds like a really healthy start to a relationship.
Like
lots of trust.
I don't understand as a woman how you could look at someone else's relationship and be so willing to disrespect it. When you know as a woman how it feels to get treated like that.
I recently have a friend that was telling me that she was in some shit with her friends and blah, blah, blah. I won't go into detail, but she was sleeping with someone that had a girlfriend. She claims that she didn't know that he had a girlfriend. I don't know if the relations stopped after she found out. From what it sounds like, her best friend like won't talk to her because of this. So it sounds like maybe there was more to the story. But the bottom line was, when she first told me, I said, okay, well, you need to tell the girlfriend. And she was like, why? I don't owe her anything. And I was like, but how would you
feel? You owe her the respect. I mean, that's just something.
Wouldn't
like
you want to know if your man was out fucking some other girl? Like, it's not necessarily your fault. You right. You don't owe her anything. You don't know her. But as a woman, wouldn't you want another woman to come tell you? I would.
And karma is so real with mm-hmm. this shit. Like, if you're opening up your vibrations and willing to treat somebody else like that, if you think that that's not going to happen to you tenfold, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Because the frequency that you're putting out when you're acting like that and you're allowing that, it's going to come back and it's going to hit you so hard. You're going to be in the happiest relationship. You're going to get fucking cheated on. And it doesn't feel good.
No.
It doesn't feel good for anyone.
But you know what? Like, there's some sort of justice in that situation, because people that don't feel bad about doing those things, like, maybe they need to be shown what it feels like so that they can have empathy and that they can grow.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Some people just need to be taught the hard way. Some people just get it, and some people need to have a personal experience with it so that they can actually understand
what
that
feels like.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, things happen. Things are weird with men, especially if they lie to you in the beginning and you don't know. But if you find out and you continue on, or you don't tell that woman, you're putting yourself, not only do you look so insecure, so immature, you think that man values you. You're his side piece. He's got a whole ass girlfriend. I saw this TikTok and it was a guy talking about cheating, and he was talking about his side piece and how she was so upset that he didn't want her to be his girlfriend. She's like, why do you see me twice a week? You say I'm the best pussy. I'm the best girl you've ever met, blah, blah, blah. You don't even like your girlfriend. And he was like, you're right. I don't like my girlfriend. She drives me crazy. She irritates me. She's the reason I'm fucking you. But I love my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I like you. You're fun. You come over. You suck me whenever I want.
Yeah.
You do whatever I want. You come, you go. I don't have to buy you dinner. I don't have to do anything. I like you a lot. I don't love you. I don't have any respect for you.
Damn.
This girl's like, her mouth's on the floor. And it's crazy to hear a man talk like that, because it's like, okay, maybe just go be a good partner to your girlfriend.
Right.
But from the woman's perspective, look at it like, wow, you have degraded yourself to a point where not only are you disrespecting women, but you're being completely disrespected as a woman.
Yeah. And you're just okay with that. And not only that, but you're then hoping that they choose you. Why would you want that?
Like, the same exact thing's not going to happen.
What is appealing about that from a perspective of someone that wants to be loved? Because it always comes from a place of like, oh, I want to be loved. This person claims they love me.
They make me feel good.
In fact, I think that women that enter into adulterous relations that aren't their own kind of, what's the word? Like, get a high off of the fact that they're competing with another woman and they're being somewhat chosen.
Oh, they're chosen. Exactly. And I can speak to this personally, because we've all had moments in, let's talk about high school, right? Where we're all very immature and our brains aren't developed. And a guy has a girlfriend, but he's giving you attention and it makes you feel good. And I am no saint. My first relationship, my longest relationship, the guy had a girlfriend when we met. And he would just bounce back and forth between us. And we were so pitted against each other. Mm-hmm. He was always with me when he was with her when he was with me. It was always a competition. As I got older and I realized, one, all we were doing was disrespecting each other and giving him the everything. Power. But two, he didn't care about either of us. Mm-hmm. I realized, wow, I will never, ever, ever in my life again be a homewrecker.
Yeah.
In any situation. And if I find out that a man has been talking to me, flirting with me, consulting with me in any way that is inappropriate,
yeah,
I'm going straight to his girl.
I mean, ick. Oh, immediately. 100%. I'm fucking running.
How could you sleep at night?
Yeah.
And so we're coming on here to say this, because if you're in a situation where you are that girl, we're not trying to shame you, right? Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone gets in bad situations, and how you got there, I don't know. Maybe it's not who you are. It's not where you want to be. Mm-hmm. But you have to take control back. You have to take your power back. You have to be a better person than that, because the situation that you've put yourself in and continue to put yourself in, it's not going to end well. And you're never going to feel good about yourself. Even if he does break up with his girl and is with you, guess what you're going to be worried about?
Who he's talking to.
Who his next is.
Yeah. And as you should, because like, I don't believe in the phrase once a cheater, always a cheater, but someone that's going to be engaged,
serial cheating,
like full on hiding someone else from their partner, that's someone you need to be very afraid of.
Very concerned about.
Because that shows a lot more about a person's character than it just does say that they're a cheater. That shows that they don't have respect, that they don't value another person's emotions.
They're a narcissist.
Their values and their character are not good. And that'll show up in many, many other places in your life.
In your relationship.
Not
yeah.
just your relationship, in their life. Like, are they a fake phony fraud at work too? Are they a fake phony fraud with family, with friends, with you, with like their children?
Someone who's willing to treat a relationship with that little respect is not a good person.
No.
And I understand cheating happens. Not that I'm condoning it, but
it's a lack of empathy.
Cheating happens in remorse. Like sometimes, God, someone got blacked out. Oh no, I kissed a guy. I was blacked out. Not okay. Still not okay. But there's a difference between, oh fuck,
making
I fucked
a mistake.
Up and hiding a whole ass other person from your significant other for months and months and months.
Because that's not a mistake at that point. That's a decision that you made knowing damn well the repercussions, knowing how it would make every single person in that situation feel.
I just don't understand how there's so many women that are willing to be the other woman.
Low like, that's self-esteem. Gross. Women that just want to be chosen. And I think that's what I was saying earlier is they'd rather be chosen by someone that has supposedly chosen someone else than to be chosen by someone that has no other suitors.
Who's actually choosing them for
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
It's almost like a hierarchy thing.
Yeah.
But that's...
And that's probably very subconscious. Like, I'm sure if you ask someone that was involved in something like this, they wouldn't know that. But there's something that it does to their self-esteem in the moment that makes them feel even better than they did or would
You're
have.
You're absolutely right, though, because in my instance, the only instance that I've ever been in like this, when him and I would be together and I would be chosen... I wouldn't feel as good as when they were together and yeah. he was with me behind her back. I would like wear his clothes to school as like a little fuck you. She would do the same thing on the other side. It was
so
super toxic. Yeah, I know, right? Like, and in the long run, neither of us won. Neither of us felt good. And it took years of us doing this to realize, okay, this person is toxic and evil and manipulative. Mm-hmm. If you're letting someone manipulate you like that, you need to take a step back. I'm not saying that all homewreckers are bad people, because I don't believe that. I believe that they're insecure. They've gotten themselves into a situation that they really need to self-assess, because you don't need to be a part of something like that.
Yeah. And I do think that without accountability and self-reflection and growing from that experience, that does make you a bad person, actually.
And if you're doing that and your friends know and your friends aren't calling you out, you should probably find some different friends.
New friends. Like Madison and I will support each other through thick and thin. You know, like there's not a lot of things that we wouldn't take each other's side on. But when it comes to what's right and what's wrong, we would never let the other one fall.
No, we're going to push each other and challenge each other. Say, hey, this is what's right. I know yeah. you don't like that.
Yeah.
And not like anything this serious has ever happened.
No.
But if I found out that you were sleeping with someone who had a girlfriend, I would tie you up and put you in that closet until you fucking
you
came to your
me a
senses.
Lobotomy.
A lobot. I would straight lobot you. And I would tell her.
And I hope you would, because it's like the saying of like, when you, this isn't a saying, I guess this is just a scenario. Like when you have friends and you try on an outfit and everyone just says, oh yeah, it looks good.
Amazing,
looks good.
Yeah.
Looks good. You want the friend you want is the one that's going to tell you change.
Girl, that ain't the one.
You don't want yes men in your life.
You know how many times I put on an outfit and Ali's like, what the fuck are you wearing? And I'm like,
why specifically?
Well, damn. I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
But honestly, you're not wrong. If your friends are real friends and they really love you and they really care about you, they're not going to watch you compromise your character to that level.
You. Yeah.
Because watching someone you love do that, it hurts. Mm-hmm. Like watching someone I love do that, it bothers me too. Like, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't care this much, but watching someone I'm so close to being involved with something like that, it makes me mad. It makes me upset.
Well, and too, that's a reflection of you. The people you keep around you are a reflection of you.
I'm not cool with that. You yeah. don't get to just do that and be a part of my life like you're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, should I not bring my man around you?
Yeah.
Should I be careful what I say to you and how I treat you? Because I don't know what you're really going to do, what your
yeah,
real
what you're
character
capable
is.
Of. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Sounds harsh, but it's the truth.
I think it's fair. And I think that's something that's admirable about you is you don't just keep people around and like fill them with fluff. You know, you're either in it or you're out, but for good reason. Like you're not just going to keep friends that are shitty people that aren't nice, that aren't this, that aren't
that. We're too old for that shit.
You have high standards, and that's why...
We're way too old for that shit. At this age, if you're not losing friends, if you're not finding new friends, you're doing something wrong. You're not growing. Because the friend group that you had when you were 18, 19 years old should not be the friend group that you have when you're 25. I'm not saying you shouldn't have some friends, but if you're not losing friends and creating boundaries and pushing people... And they're not dropping out of your life because of that, you're doing something wrong. You're too comfortable.
You're a surface level person if that's the case, because the likelihood of that relationship that you had when you were 18 being something that fits your life now, probably not so likely.
If you're still the same person that you are when you were 18,
then you need to do some self-assess. Yeah.
Like for sure, if you're not creating new boundaries in your mid-20s, early 30s about just how you act in life, how you drink, how you work, how you are in relationships.
What you expect and what you don't expect.
If you're not losing people because of that, you're not pushing hard enough. Mm-hmm. You're not growing and you need to look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. Sounds harsh. It's like the third time I've said that. But
on the other end, it's like, if you are someone that has lost a lot of friends recently and maybe you're feeling down, maybe you only have a really small circle, maybe you used to have a lot of friends, like that's a good thing. And you shouldn't be ashamed of having one or two really solid people in your life just because you see on social media that, oh, these girls with all these big friend groups and all these.
There's like 20 of them in Ibiza.
I guarantee you the girls with the big friend groups, most of them hate each other.
They're the loneliest.
Yep. They don't really connect with each other. There's probably everyone pairs off when they're all together because you have one or two people from that whole group that you actually like, that you actually connect with. And even then, you're all trying to force this friendship, this group of friendships that should have dissipated a long time ago.
Yep. And honestly, I have a great group of friends now, like a pretty decent sized group of girls, but we didn't start becoming friends until we were 25 years old.
You grew that now.
We're not party friends. We're not surface level friends. We are very respectful of each other's schedules. If someone doesn't text back for a week, there's no weirdness. Mm-hmm. We're adults. We go to dinner if we get a chance. Like
for me, I have a very hard time connecting with people.
Yeah.
I have, you know this, like mm-hmm. I am a very deep person. I feel like I've said that 100 times on this damn podcast.
When I was a surface level, I shouldn't say surface level, but when I had a lot of friends and I was 18 years old coming in out of the house, you'd always be like, who are these girls?
I just couldn't do it. I couldn't deal with it. And I remember feeling at one point like, damn, why does everyone have so many friends? And I had friends, but no one that I cared to hang out with, no mm-hmm. one that I really gave a
maybe
shit about.
Effort for, yeah.
No one that really gave a shit about me. Like I just knew where those relationships lied. And I used to feel really sad about it because I would see all these other people and, you know, life is not always as it seems. People portray certain things to make their lives look better, especially with social media. But now that I'm older, I can reflect and I feel so content with the circle that I do have. And it is hard to penetrate my circle.
You built that shit.
But it's so solid. Like I feel just like secure and so content with the way that it is.
Well, and that's the thing is like, if you're not pushing each other and challenging each other as friends, you're not really friends. Mm-hmm. Like you and me all the time, like with your music, I'm like, fucking release the song, you stupid bitch. You know, we push each other because we care about each other.
Yeah.
If you're willing to accept somebody's, you know, mediocrity and not wanting to push them and not wanting to see them be successful.
Or if you don't see their potential or if you don't think they can right. be that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I push you because I see that you're capable of it and vice versa, I would assume. So like if you're with friends with someone and you know that they don't have the capacity to grow or to be something, then it's like, okay, that doesn't make them a bad person, but just know where they lie in your life and know that that is not someone that you need to have be that close to you.
You don't have to drop the axe or anything. It's not like they hurt you, but
you just know where they stand in your life. And I have friends like that, that I know where they stand. They're still my friends, but maybe they're not. There's tiers to this shit. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Yeah. Absolute. There's levels.
Couple.
We start having an arm wrestle.
Okay. Well, we have one more little topic before we finish up today. This is kind of a little fucking needle boogie baga, boogie baba.
All right, so we're going to end this pod with a little PSA to the girlies or the gays or the guys or whoever's listening, because I feel like this just needs to be said. God damn it. How do you know when it's time to walk away?
If you're making a pros and cons list, walk.
If you feel like the trust has been broken to the point where you want to check their phone, walk.
For sure, walk. If you're counting down the good moments, just waiting for the next bad moment to happen, walk.
If every single person in your life, your friends, your family, hate this person, walk.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
If you can't stand every single thing they do, they breathe, they blink, they look at you, and you want to stab them to death, just walk.
If they fall asleep and you're laying next to them sobbing,
they're just sleeping.
And they're just sound asleep like nothing happened, walk.
If you wake up in the morning and agree to try and have a good day, like, let's really try and make it a good day today,
walk.
If
the only good sex that you have is after a big fight,
oh my god, walk. Please walk. This is a little snippet for the people who are wondering if they should stay in their relationship or not. If we just named any of those things and you're thinking about them, just walk.
Yeah, it's if all you good. Have, put a finger down.
Put a finger down if you fucking hate
and
your
if
partner.
You have two or more fingers down, one or more finger down, probably walk. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in.
Bad Therapy, episode 13. It was fun as usual.
I had fun. Did
Bad Therapy, episode 13. Sometimes we get a little fucking wacky and zany at the end of the podcast.
We do. We usually just don't know how to fucking end the pod.
We're usually three quarters blacked out by this point. Not today, though. Shocking.
No, not today. Shocking.
Shocking.
All right. We'll see you next week for episode 14. Cheers.